Medgevis College Student Government and the people of the Sun Middle Passage Collective present the 11th annual tribute to the ancestors of the Middle Passage on Saturday, June 10th, beginning promptly at noon at Coney Island Beach at West 16th Street and the Boardwalk. For information, please contact Akeem at 718-270-4902 or Haptah Selassie at 212-209-2992. Be there. Bring flowers and musical instruments.
And you're listening to radio station WBAI in New York. The time is 8 o'clock, and that means once again, it's time for Off the Hook. Well, the first thing to do, of course, is to thank everybody who called in over the last week for our three-hour special last Tuesday night. Raised something like $5,000, which, what do you think, Isaac? That's more money than we'll see in a long time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty good. And that's it shows that people care about the radio station, they care about the show, they care about Off the Hook, and freedom of speech, which is what it's all about. So thanks very much again. And please, if you have not already paid your pledge, do so, because pledging is half the battle, paying is the other half, and of course, you can't have the station without without the pledges actually coming through. Well, we have mostly this week we're going to be taking phone calls, because we haven't done that in, what, 3 weeks now?
Something.
Yeah, it's been a while, so our number, as always, is 212-209-2900. We'll be taking phone calls in just a little bit. We've got Isaac over there.
How you doing, sir?
On the moderate left. Pork Chop Center, and
hello,
Alex
there.
Over on the right.
How's it going?
How are you? Who has an update for us on something exciting going on?
I'll update something.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, we mentioned it last week that I registered VerizonEatsPoop.com.
Yeah, you get a letter from them yet?
Not yet. I mean, I suspect that I will be getting one soon, since it's starting to show up in the search engines.
Yeah, search engines. Oh, yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, very good. It should actually start showing up much better than Verizon's actual. So. Uh-huh.
Well, you know, Verizon really doesn't even exist yet.
Yeah, but Verizon Wireless does.
Uh-huh.
If you go to VerizonEatsPoop.com, you'll see the logo is very similar, too. I'm sure they have a lot of fun with that. But what I set the site up to do is to be the official website for grievances concerning Verizon.
There you go. And, of course, that's sort of what the purpose of Verizon Really Sucks was.
Exactly.
In fact, I wanted to get Verizon Sucks for that purpose, but they already took it, so we had to get Verizon Really Sucks. And, you know, I just wish they'd make it easy for us to you know, to express ourselves. Damn it, that's what it's all about.
It's absolutely horrible.
Lawsuits.
What I mentioned there's a link up there. What is VerizonEatsPoop.com? And first thing is, it's a statement against Verizon. It's an opinion. It's a sentence.
You think some poop site might sue you?
Maybe yeah. Duty.com or something. Right?
Well, I don't know what the legalities are. I haven't, you know, checked into it. But these days, whenever you register anything on the net, you have to be careful. You really have to be.
Absolutely. We'll see what happens. And I really like people to go and start using the site. Any complaints will be posted on the site so that everybody can see, you know, if Verizon is doing a bad job. Everybody should be able to know about these things. If the personnel are mean, if your cellular service is horrible, or if you're just being generally treated badly, if your bill is wrong, you know, people should know about these things, and all complaints are going to be forwarded to the Public Service Commission. So I think the site serves a good purpose, and if Verizon has a problem with it, then they, you know, they're going to have to take it up with us. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, they are taking it up with us. That's the thing. They've already started to take it up with us by sending out that nasty, threatening letter. Yeah. Which, you know, I'm wondering now if they want to take the letter back, you know. We'll give them the opportunity. We always do. We gave Jack Valenti the opportunity. He has yet to respond to take back the nasty things he said about us. We give Verizon the same thing. We gave Staples that chance. Who else is threatening us now? did I miss anybody? Well, we got the DVD-CCA. We've got the MPAA. We've got Staples. We've got Verizon. Oh, NBC. I forgot, NBC.
Whatever happened with that bookstore?
Which bookstore?
Way back when.
Move your mic to within like a meter of your mouth. And
Was it Borders?
What about Borders?
Wasn't there some issue about the 2600 issue?
That was Barnes & Noble.
Was Barnes & Noble?
Yeah, there was some controversy. That was about a year ago.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, my mind's somewhat
wrong. Talking about the, I think, point-of-sale terminals.
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, most Barnes & Nobles have no problem with us.
Oh, really?
Just some, you know, some more fundamentalist-type Barnes & Nobles had problems with us. What are you going to do, you know? It's the risk of expressing yourself these days. Well, you know what I was wondering? I was thinking about this on my way in. We're talking about Verizon all the time, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who's got 1-800-VERIZON? It's exactly seven letters.
Yeah. I'm sure they do. I mean, how many domains have they registered?
Well, you know, I would think they would as well, except that all the 800 numbers were taken. So, you know, they were taken before they came up with their corporate name.
They probably threatened them. They probably copyrighted Verizon and said, you're taking up these seven digits as a violation of our valuable trademark rights, which I seem to make mention of quite a few times.
They say they own their name, but they don't own the phone number. You don't own your own phone number, as we learned out in 516, former 516 land, is now 631.
And if you had 1-800-VERIZON, I mean, and you used it for some sort of critique purpose, just like Verizon Eats Poop is being used for, I mean, do you think that could be considered a fair use?
I think
If you make 1-800-VERIZON a complaint line for Verizon, it's critiquing them.
Well, I'm sure it's taken by somebody. We'll find out who. But
yeah, let's check it out.
Yeah, I think I'd like to do that. First, I wanted to demonstrate something else that's kind of cool. If you pick up the old phone line over here, and you dial our old phone number, which is 516-751-2600, listen to what happens.
We're sorry. Your call cannot be completed as dialed. Please check the number and dial again.
They don't even have the little...
That's not what I wanted to show. As always, whenever I try to demonstrate something here, it doesn't do what it's supposed to do. But I tried this yesterday for my Sprint phone, and it went right through. So I was thinking they didn't cut over the 751 exchange for some reason. And they cut over everything else, you know, because nothing else worked for my Sprint phone, just the 751 exchange. So I figured, you know, maybe they were doing us a favor or something like that, and we could, like, you know, get all the letterhead reprinted. Yeah, but apparently it's not to be.
Oh, well.
Yeah, what are you going to do? But, you know, I'm curious, though, who has 516 now, you know? Has it been reassigned? I mean, not 516, 751. Who has 751 now?
I have no idea.
Probably get the same recording if you call 9901, but...
I don't know if they're going to start actually, you know, doubling over the numbers.
I heard they were going to do it pretty soon, actually.
Yeah.
I heard they were desperate.
Ooh. You know what a desperate phone company can do.
That's right. All right. Let's check out Verizon. You want to check out Verizon?
Why not?
All right.
Let's go for it.
Dial tone. 1-800. V, I want to make sure I spell it right. E-R.
Mm-hmm.
I. Now, what's a Z? What's a Z? There's no Z on the phone.
Oh, my God.
Well, it could be 1 or 9.
Well, mine says 9 on my cell phone here.
For this, we need an operator. All right, hang on. I'm sure they'll understand when we tell them what we're trying to do.
AT&T.
Oh, I don't want
to place a call, please dial the number that you are calling.
Operator.
Please hold for operator assistance.
You're going to charge your buck for this, too?
No.
AT&T, how may I help you?
Hi, operator, I have a problem. The new phone company, Verizon, perhaps you've heard of them?
No, sir, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, you will.
There are thousands of them.
Oh, okay, yeah, but this is about Atlantic and GTE merging. It's going to be the biggest. It'll be bigger than AT&T, even. No offense. But I'm trying to call them at 1-800-VERIZON, and there's a Z in that number, and I don't know what the Z is. Can you help me?
Z is a 9.
Z is a 9.
Z is a 9.
Thank you so much for that information. Thank you. All right.
She was pretty knowledgeable before.
Do you really think Z is a 9?
Well,
have you
I
seen a
know,
phone anywhere where there's a Z on a 9?
I've seen
a Z
one
on
right
a...
Here.
Oh, really?
I got one right here.
Okay.
The Rome phones have it also, don't they? I think so.
Yeah, my Sprint phone says Z is on a 9. My OmniPoint phone. Yeah, I guess Z has been moved to 9. When did that happen?
I've
Z used to be on 0,
on
and I've seen it on 1, too.
Yeah, Q and Z.
Q and Z on 1.
It has Q on it as well?
Yeah.
It does.
Sounds like she's been asked that question a million times.
Q is 7 on here.
Z is a 9. Z is a 9. So sorry, you know, I didn't know. I really didn't know. All right.
Let's try it.
Yeah. Theme music, please. Where is it? There we go. Okay. 1-800. 9. Let's see what we get here.
Hello, this is Jack Morgan from IBM. Today is Tuesday, May 30th, and I'll be in the office all day today. Please leave me a message at the tone, and I will get back to you by the end of the business day. If you need someone immediately, please hit the pound sign on your touch tone phone. You'll be transferred to my secretary. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.
Maybe you should transfer.
Jack, hi, this is Emmanuel over at Off the Hook in New York. We're just calling you live on the radio here to warn you that you're going to be getting a call sometime soon from a phone company known as Verizon. When you get that call, do not, by any circumstances, give them your 800 number because you have 1-800-VERIZON, all right? Hold out for as much as you possibly can because that number is yours. All right. Thank you. Good luck. You'll need it. Can't believe it. Jack from IBM has 1-800-VERIZON.
1-800-VERIZON.
You know?
Good for him.
Good for him. You know, more power to him. I know a grassroots organization like IBM will back him up every step of the way. Against the corporate powers that will try and inflict their
Well, IBM probably has the has a giant block of numbers in that zone.
Well, they usually have blocks of numbers in regular POTS lines, 800 numbers. I don't know.
What's the VER? What exchange is it?
I'm thinking that would be 837. I'm trying to think if it spells anything else. It must spell something. For someone can calculate it at home.
One of them generators.
Yeah. All right, someone at home who has nothing better to do, figure out what other word Verizon spells. Porkchop, you have something better to do. You don't have to do that right now.
He's
calculating.
Anyway.
I don't calculate. Hey, anybody see this this remarks as prepared for delivery by this guy from Seagram Company? Edgar Bronfman Jr. This is on the web at Seagram.com. And,
don't they make ginger ale?
This has something to do with, it's the Real Conference 2000.
As opposed to the fake conference.
No, I think it has to do with their company, Real.
Company, yes. Okay.
And basically, thank you, good morning. Very happy to be here to witness firsthand the mission upon which Rob, his colleagues at Real, and Real's partners have embarked, blah, blah, blah. And I assume that's Real Audio, right? They're talking about music,
yeah,
and talking about all kinds of things. Music is on the leading edge of the revolution.
Actually, it's not Progressive Networks anymore.
Yes.
They split, now it's Real Networks.
Yeah, well, they're not very progressive anymore either.
No, they're not.
Now, of course, they still use the word revolution everywhere. Music is on the leading edge of the revolution. I love how corporate America has taken the word revolution, you know? They've taken the peace sign, they've taken revolution. What are they going to take, you know, Marxist philosophy next? You know, where is this going? They're, like, taking every possible alternative thing that they can and using it to sell things.
I put a little bit on VerizonEatsPoop.com about Verizon's little advertising campaign with the peace sign and the V. So if anybody wants to explain it to me. They can. I don't really know what it is.
Well, I'm hoping that, you know, some peace activists will get together and file papers against Verizon for using the corporate trademark of the two fingers.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Two fingers facing the wrong way, by the way, for Verizon, but never mind that. Now, he goes on for a long period of time about property rights. Music is on the leading edge of the revolution. Because of that, it has become the first product to illuminate the central, and I believe the most critical challenge for this technological revolution, the protection of intellectual property rights. For all of us, property rights are well understood and universally accepted. You own a home, or at least all of us in this room do, and rich fat cat people in the conference, but a lot of people outside don't. But regardless, you own a car. They're yours. They belong to you. They are your property. He's really trying to hammer that into people's heads.
Understood.
Well, your ideas belong to you, too. And intellectual property is property, period. But there are those who believe that because technology can access property and appropriate it, then somehow that which is yours is no longer yours because technology has made it simple and easy for someone else to take it from you. If intellectual property is not protected across the board in every case with no exceptions and no... How do you pronounce this word? Sophistry?
Sophistry.
What does that mean? I've never seen that word before.
It's like a fallacious sort of reasoning. Sophistry. Like the old Greek sophist.
Well, why is he using that word like that? Americans can't understand.
I don't know. I don't get it either.
Sophistry about a changing world. What will happen? Intellectual property will suffer the fate of the buffalo. Oh, wait a minute. The buffalo. Hold on a second. The buffalo's still around. Yeah. I saw a buffalo.
Yeah, on a nickel.
I ate a buffalo the other day.
Well, that's why the buffalo is suffering this fate.
He wasn't hungry.
He's talking about.
I see.
He ate a whole buffalo.
Well, no. They have those buffalo burgers, you know?
You know, yeah, the local diner by me has buffalo burgers, I think.
They're really good. You should have one.
I had one when I was in Wyoming.
Oh, okay.
I won't have another.
Bison.
Okay, we know that going into a record store and removing a CD is wrong. It is stealing. It is thievery. We will re-emphasize this truth and articulate this message in an educational effort with our industry allies, targeted to the great majority of people who want to do the right thing, yet may not fully comprehend that accessing copyrighted material without proper payment or permission in a digital world is as wrong as it is in the physical world. Again, the analogy with physically stealing a CD and taking it away, and as opposed to somebody listening to something. Each new technological advance inevitably requires new behaviors. When tape recorders came along, we grappled with the distinctions to be made between taping things for your own enjoyment and selling the tapes. When photocopiers came along, we had to deal with how much of something could be copied and under what circumstances without constituting theft. Now the internet has created a newer version of the same issues. Once again, we need to thrash out how intellectual property can and should be protected in the context of new digital technologies. Just as technology gives, so can it take away. As technology enables crime, so can it be used to protect us from crime and criminals. Whether it is better and more robust methods of security or tools to track down those who ignore right from wrong, technology will offer the owners of property at least as much comfort as it may currently offer to hackers and spies, pirates, and pedophiles. Isn't that great how we always
nice
get lumped in?
There. I actually preferred the international terrorists that Clinton grouped us in with last time.
Yeah, you know, that's a... They have more fun, international terrorists and spies, pirates, right, and pedophiles.
And they could go around the world.
That's right. That's right. You get free travel, too.
That's true. Right.
And,
as long as you're holding
the plane.
Listen, this is the scary part. Technology exists that can trace every internet download and tag every file. These tools make it possible to identify those who are using the internet to improperly and illegally acquire music and other copyrighted information. While adhering to the principle of respect for individual privacy, we fully intend to exploit technology to protect the property which rightfully belongs to its owners. We must restrict the anonymity behind which people hide to commit crimes. Anonymity must not be equated with privacy. As citizens, we have a right to privacy. We have no such right to anonymity. Do you know that? You don't have the right to be anonymous.
That's right.
Since when?
Privacy is getting your email address taken off of spam mailing lists. Privacy is making sure some hacker doesn't have access to your social security number or your mother's maiden name. I mean, come on already. Who has access to this information? It's not hackers. It's big business. It's the spam people. It's the government. It's all the evil people out there that do things with it. Hackers find it. It's because everybody else already has access to it. They're the ones that are going to tell you about it, though. Anyway, online privacy is assuring that what you do, so long as it is legal in our eyes, is your own business and may not be exploited by others. Anonymity, on the other hand, means being able to get away with stealing or hacking or disseminating illegal material on the internet and presuming the right that nobody should know who you are. There is no such right. There is nothing more than a digital equivalent of putting on a ski mask when you rob a bank. I wish I was there. I really wish I was there for this.
Where was this?
This was at the San Jose, California, May 26th, only a couple days ago.
Wow.
Yeah. The remarks by Edgar Bronfman Jr., Real Conference 2000. You know, I admit my ignorance. I don't know who Edgar Bronfman is. He's probably like the president of some big company.
You don't know who Edgar is?
No, I don't. Do you?
No.
No, nobody does. He's a big nobody because he says stupid things like this.
Yeah.
Well, it's not all stupid.
Well, it is pretty stupid. I mean,
I think he started off pretty dumb.
He makes, yeah, okay, stealing a CD from a record store is wrong. That's where he pretty much lost me, though. That was the point, and, you know, that was meant to be the hook to, like, get me to go along with the rest of this nonsense, but I'm sorry, it doesn't work. Let me finish with his points here. Anonymity disguised as privacy is still anonymity, and it must not be used to strip others of their rights, including their right to privacy or their property rights. We need to create a standard that balances one's right to privacy with the need to restrict anonymity, which shelters illegal activities. He's already pretty much defined anonymity as something bad. So now, oh, yeah, anonymity bad. We must stop it somehow. You know, all the sheep are going to follow along and put an end to this. We cannot suggest that the ready and appropriate distinctions we make between privacy and anonymity in the physical world are irrelevant in the digital world. To do so would be to countenance anarchy. We don't want to countenance anarchy, now do we? To do so would undermine the very basis of our civilized society. The very basis, Isaac.
Does he mean the cornerstone?
Yes, if you will. In the appropriation of intellectual property, mymp3.com, Napster, and Nutella, which has stolen from the breakfast of 100 million European children even its name.
Huh?
I don't even know what that's about.
Do you know what you don't know what Nutella is?
What is it?
Oh, that's right. It's wonderful stuff. It's this chocolate hazelnut spread that you put on bread, and you make chocolate
bread. You know,
bread.
I've had that. When I was in Holland, I had that.
Yeah, it's great.
That
I lived off it.
What does that have to do with it?
What do they have, Nutella.com? Well, Nutella can just get Nutella.co.uk if they...
It just says Nutella here. Nutella has stolen from the breakfast of 100 million European children even its name. What is that?
Well, that just seems like a ridiculous non sequitur.
Anyway, in my opinion, they are the ringleaders, the exemplars of theft, of piracy, of the illegal and willful appropriation of someone else's property. What individuals might do unthinkingly for pleasure, in my view, they do with forethought for profit, justifying with weak and untenable rationale their theft of the labor and genius of others. And he lists as examples iCrave TV, Napster, MyMP3.com, and the recent victory confirming the application of copyright law to cyberspace involving the unlawful dissemination of DVD anti-copy codes.
I wasn't aware that there was an actual judgment in that.
Yeah, well, I guess the initial ruling that made us take it off our site.
The injunction.
It's an injunction. Which so doesn't mean anything.
They wrap this all together in a nice, neat bow, as, you know, we are all the enemies of the state here, because, you know, we spread information on the net, and we're spies and pirates and pedophiles as well.
And Elmas.
Well, he's scared, and he's trying to
combat
something.
He's scared. He's running scared, all right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Unfortunately, it's the wrong thing.
Those
services that he mentioned, Nutella and Napster, and what was the last one?
MyMP3.com, iCrave TV. I'll go through these one by one. You know, I don't see... iCrave TV was probably the one I had the most problem with because they were taking a signal and putting it on the Internet and anybody could look at it. But when you think about it just a little bit more, what are they really doing? They're taking a signal that goes out over the air anyway and allowing people in other parts of the world to see it. It's not a scramble signal, even.
It's rebroadcasting.
It's not rebroadcasting using, you know, restricted airwaves or something like that, which, you know, goes against broadcast rules. They're putting it on the net. I don't understand what the problem is.
I'm sure if they get hauled into court, they'll start looking at certain things like hotels who are selling newspapers from out of town for a slight margin of profit.
What's the difference? Yeah, I mean, I could see that, but iCrave TV wasn't even selling anything. Anybody could just connect. But, yeah, what's the difference between me going downtown and getting a copy of the Washington Post and, you know, I'm not supposed to be reading that because that's out of town? I don't understand what their point is, they really want.
The thing is, he's scared and he's trying to combat these services which are allowing people to communicate to one another.
Mm-hmm.
And now, if the individuals are the ones who are putting up, you know, quote-unquote illegal MP3s, which I will grant you, you know, there are certain IP issues here.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't have a problem. The MP3 business, I don't have a problem if an artist goes on the record saying, I don't want my stuff distributed that way. Okay, you know, respect the artist, I guess, or just pretty much label him as somebody who's more interested in the business aspect of it. But I think most real artists are going to want their music to get out there.
Well, you have the declaration backwards where the artist actually has to say, I'm giving my work to the community. It is now public domain.
Yeah, but you see,
otherwise he retains the copyright.
Here's the thing, though. You have to understand the reality of the situation is that you can't control it. It's like saying, don't play a tape so that somebody other than the person who bought it can hear it. You know, you can't do it. It's very difficult. You can try. You can take people to court for listening to something they didn't buy. But the fact of the matter is the internet is here. MP3s are here. Napster is here. How are you going to prevent this kind of thing? You either have to figure out a way to work with it and make your money that way, exploit the situation however you see fit, or you're going to have to fight something that will pretty much make you look like an idiot. I mean, look at Metallica. Look what's happened to them. They've everybody's saying bad things about Metallica now. They're not winning any friends from
it
this.
It was not a wise choice to attack the way they did.
Mm-hmm. And who were they protecting? They were protecting the record company's interests, not necessarily the artist's interest. Every artist I've spoken to a lot of musicians, and every musician, I actually have spoken to a couple of really big ones as well, but and they take the same stance as the small ones, that they want their music just to get out, and this is really about protecting record company profits, and record companies rape the artists of all their profits anyway.
But
that's what it's about.
But unfortunately, they signed certain contracts
yeah.
and have contractual obligations to those record companies so far as exclusive distribution of their
and
work.
And they have my sympathy for signing those deals.
Well, that is a decision that they made.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but with Metallica, even if they wanted their art to get out there, their music, didn't the individual band members go on record saying, like Lars Ulrich, I think it was
uh-huh.
the drummer? On record.
The drummer has been the person giving all the speeches.
Lars something or another.
Yeah.
I mean, he's gone on the record, I believe, and said, you know, that we think this is wrong. We want this to stop.
Yeah. Yeah, but the thing is, you know, these are people that are already, you know, up there. They're millionaires, if not billionaires.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that
you
doesn't
know,
give them any less right.
No, but I just don't think they're speaking for the up-and-coming artist anymore. I think they're speaking for the big businesses that have made them into what they are. All right, and you have to take that into consideration. Now, fine, you know, I say, you know, I will not be downloading any Metallica MP3s anytime soon, and I think other people shouldn't as well. And I'd like to see a division between people who think it's okay and people who don't think it's okay, and let it be well known who thinks it's cool and who thinks it's not cool. And I think, you know, that might very well determine who's successful in the future and who isn't.
Yeah, I think that's really going to be the distinguishing feature between people who can really be considered artists
mm-hmm.
and people who are just interested in it for the
yeah.
monetary.
You'll have your corporate music and you'll have your individual music. You know, you have your music based on profit, your music based on music. You know, or however you want to phrase it.
I think Todd Rundgren has been doing things like that for mm-hmm. a while now, where he had this idea back a couple of years ago. A girl I worked with was interested in him, where you don't go through a record company, you subscribe to an artist.
Right.
And you subscribe to him on his website, and then he would send you his new music, you know, completely bypassing all record companies.
Yeah, he did that a long time ago.
Yeah.
It was like 10 years ago, I think he did something like that.
Probably.
Yeah. Now, you were listening to Napster earlier today. You were telling me before.
Yeah, actually, a friend of mine and I have been looking for a German ska band by the name of No Sports.
Uh-huh.
And he was searching through Napster today, looking for a particular song by No Sports, and can't find it anywhere here. I mean, we've searched every record store. You can't buy it online. It's impossible to find the King Kong song by No Sports, and there it was.
Wow.
Right there. I mean, we haven't heard it in years. And it brought back some good memories.
How did it feel listening to that
song,
knowing
wonderful.
That you were taking money out of the hands of the people that made the song?
Oh, well, I
feel good?
Feel
you feel good
a little,
at that?
Yeah. A little moral about
uh-huh.
that, yeah.
They're over in Germany, you know, they need all the help they can get.
Yeah, they really do. The Deutschmark's not doing so well,
no.
is it?
No.
But anyway, to go back
yes.
a few points.
I find it reprehensible what he did, listening to music like that.
Well, the point I was
yeah,
trying
I
to convey
shy.
Is that these people are scared and they're going after the wrong people.
Mm-hmm.
Nutella and these different services are basically providing a means by which individuals can connect to other individuals and share files. So, you know, if you're just the guy handing things across, there's very, you know.
Well, that is what Napster is doing, after all. Napster is simply handing files
right.
back and forth. And,
well, it's
and
not handing files. It's not even handing files. It's simply saying, you know, this guy has uh-huh. what you're looking for.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, for that reason alone, not even touching on the morality of it, but for that reason alone, I don't see how they have a case against him.
Well, they don't. I mean, that's exactly what happened with the Utah Lighthouse Ministry. By just putting up a link to something saying, this is where it is,
mm-hmm.
they said, you can't do that. That's contributory copyright infringement. And then that brought up, you know, another slew of issues.
Right.
It's really the same thing with Napster. They're just the middleman
right.
saying this is where it is.
But they're the most visible aspect of this entire system, so the people who are running scared are just trying
pointing
to pin
finger.
It on
yeah.
a very
it's a,
large
it's a common theme.
Donkeys.
The people running scared came after us. They're going after Napster. They're going after MP3.com and all the others. You know, it's a lot of scared corporations out there.
Too many.
Must be doing something right, though. Our phone lines are lighting up like a Christmas tree. You can call us 212-209-2900. Well, they were lit up a lot more just now. There they go. All right. I want every light lit up, including that one that never seems to light up for some reason. I don't know why that is. Yeah. No, don't press it. Then it'll be broken or something. we're going to have a Napster panel at H2K. We're working it out right now. There are going to be some very interesting people at that. If you know somebody who wants to be involved in that particular aspect of it or in any other aspect of H2K, you can email us. What email address should we give out for that? I guess I'll just email oth@2600.com. That'll get to the radio people, and we'll forward it to the other people, and everything will be okay. We also have a meeting this Friday at Citicorp, and actually everywhere we have meetings first Friday of the month. So if you want to talk about H2K stuff, just come on by the Citicorp Center between 5 and 8. And we'll hook you up with the right people, things like that. Okay, let's take some phone calls, 212-209-2950. Before we do, does anybody else have any other interesting points they wanted to bring up?
G8 conference last week.
Yeah, you were there?
I wasn't there.
Oh.
But it was a preliminary meeting in which was supposed to outline certain talking points for the G8 conference in July.
Uh-huh.
G8 being the group of eight nations, the major industrialized nations,
I
and
I
Russia,
right.
which they like to advertise. Vince Cerf gave a talk.
Is Russia one of the eight, or is it?
Russia is one of the eight.
Okay.
It's the U.S.,
So it's not G8
Canada.
And Russia, it's G8, including Russia.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the U.S., Canada, Germany, Italy, Japan, the Axis powers there.
Uh-huh.
The U.K.
What about Spain?
I don't think Spain is in
Why
there.
Why is Spain
France
in there?
And Russia.
What's wrong with Spain?
I don't know what's wrong with Spain. They're not one of the big eight industrialized nations.
They're pretty
they're
big.
The big seven industrialized nations and Russia.
Well, anyway.
Regardless, it was a meeting that was supposed to outline talking points for the G8 conference in July.
Uh-huh.
And Vince Cerf was speaking, and this is where you may have been hearing these comments about the French saying that we need to vacate all hacker havens. And, remove anonymity on the Internet and come up with some internationalized means by which to track people from place to place. And it's, while there wasn't suggestion of an international police force and, the assistant U.S. Attorney General said, well, we never brought that up, it was kind of mentioned. But this is the kind of internationalization that they're starting to get into.
Yeah.
Where they're looking to...
The globalization that's...
Right,
that's
where they're looking to
scary.
Say, you know, we can't have a place where hackers can go about what they do, which is in and of itself somewhat silly. But
you feel like you're living in the X-Files sometimes. And
I feel like it's kind of walking into this Orwellian nightmare.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I feel like the Orwellian nightmare is kind of springing up around us. We're pretty much staying put.
A little late for me.
Okay, we're going to take the very last person who called in first. We're going to try that.
Okay.
Maybe that'll work better. Good evening. You're on the air.
Ah, finally, after months and months of getting to calling you, because we're on AT&T, so you only get 12
rings
14,
and they
shut you down. And
well, you're the very last person to call in. You're on line 11.
I know, because I've already called 30 times.
See, we should go to the other end of the dial, because
you
would never make it down this far
anyway,
ordinarily.
I love your show, and it's wonderful, and my biggest problem is Bell Atlantic Mobile. I figure they owe us about $5,000 minimum on our two mobile telephones because of their total lockage of any... we have like 100 dropouts a day for 2 years.
Dropouts on what kind of a line?
It just doesn't connect, and just... because they didn't put up transponders in Exchange Place in New Jersey, which is right across from the World Trade Center.
Yeah, right off the path.
And it just every phone calling us, we use it in the office, just gets dropped out, and they think we're out of business. For
really?
Years.
Wow.
But anyway, there's something called as a executive appeal. But the an engineer told me, and I forgot it because I didn't write it down, there is a higher to Bell Atlantic Mobile than the executive, which is right at 42nd Street and 6th Avenue. They're flunkies there.
Really? So there's a higher office?
Yes, and I don't know what the hell it was. The guy told me, and I wrote it on a piece of paper, and I lost it, of course.
Or was it taken, maybe?
But I guess I'll have to go through the first thing. They just didn't put transponders up, you know? And
why
now they're all over the place.
Why didn't you switch companies?
Well, we had MCI, we tried AT&T, and it was just as bad.
Really?
Yeah, just insane.
You sure it wasn't something on... Wait, it was Bell Atlantic's fault.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's the worst one. And then Sprint just screwed us on the billing. I mean, just outrageous. But we have all printouts of dropout, 100 a day or more.
See, this is the kind of stuff that you would put on a website and show the world.
Yeah.
I know. What they hate. They hate it when you have that kind of power.
Anyway, I'm just not very good at doing that, but I'm going to work on it.
Uh-huh. All right.
Anyway, and by Mr. Bronfman, you were talking before,
uh-huh.
I knew his parents, and what they do is a Canadian whiskey.
Wait a minute, you knew his parents?
Yeah.
The guy I was just
They're
reading
very
a speech
nice.
From.
Nice, his parents.
Small world.
Wonderful, living in beautiful places, Tarrytown,
uh-huh.
swimming pools and tennis courts and looking at the Hudson, and it was just gorgeous. But he's enamored, Mr. Bronfman now. I mean, that's where he makes his money with the Canadian whiskey. But he thinks himself as a new Hollywood producer for filming.
Hmm.
So that's what he's trying to bark in his way, I guess, for...
So what does this guy do, whose speech we were reading?
I'm sorry, the which?
The guy whose speech we were reading. What does he do?
Oh, Mr. Bronfman is a head of Seagram's.
Okay, he's head of Seagram's.
Yeah, his parents were, and they gave it to him. but now he's enamored in Hollywood. He wants to make movies, be a mogul of movies.
A movie mogul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which
yeah, I've heard of them.
Pretty low.
It
know?
Is pretty low, yes.
He was, doing very well with the whiskey thing. At least that's pretty good. But
to go from whiskey to movies, that's that's something.
Yeah, that's
easy.
Really
all better than
down.
From whiskey to politics.
Mm. All right, listen, thanks
anyway,
for calling. We're going to move on.
Great show.
All right, thank you.
You mentioned something that is also very important. You suggested that someone possibly broke in and took this piece of paper from the gentleman.
I did?
Yes.
Oh, the person
just
called.
Calling.
Yeah, the piece of paper with the secret office for
yes.
Bell Atlantic.
Are you aware of the interesting little addition to the methamphetamines bill that's presently in the House? The Fourth Amendment bit?
Oh, yeah. I heard about it. Is this where the government could come in and
right.
look in your
search,
place without any kind of searching?
Right. They can. It's a no-knock warrant where they can
uh-huh.
basically walk in while you're not there.
Right.
They don't have to serve you with a warrant until months later and look around.
Right.
And take any intangibles that you may have and not provide a list for you.
And this is based on what? Is this based on drugs or is it anything?
Well, it was part of a banking bill previously,
uh-huh.
which was very quickly removed from the bill. It's now part of the methamphetamines bill, and it's called, Clarifications Notification.
Uh-huh.
It has, it just...
So, now, if this is passed, they're saying that when they're looking for a particular thing or when they're looking for anything, they can come in without a warrant?
Well, that's the other half of it. They can basically say anything that is potentially, I forget the exact wording, but it's in the, something related to federal crime.
Okay, you're going to bring that in next week, and we're going to focus on that next
Certainly.
Week. All right, that's your assignment.
It's a big deal.
Yeah, well, I would say so. Anytime they can come in and without a warrant and without providing you with a list of what they take, yeah, that's a big deal, definitely. Amazing. I don't know what these people are thinking. All right, let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Emmanuel. It's Bobcat.
Bobcat, how are you?
I'm fine. I wanted to tell you that Edgar Bronfman is chairman of Seagram's, which I'll... Hold on a second. I had
yep.
to... I'm sorry.
It's old information to us right now. we just talked to a guy who knew his parents.
Well, I happen to know that he owns Universal Studios... Universal Music Group.
Ah. They're suing us. This guy is suing us. Oh, my God.
Yes, he is.
How about that? You know, you keep running into people on the street, and 9 times out of 10, they're suing you.
Universal Music Group also has Big Audio Dynamite on their list.
Oh, great.
Uh-huh.
Oh,
no.
But the good news is they also have Limp Bizkit.
They have Limp Bizkit too, huh?
Yes, and Limp Bizkit will be having a free tour this summer, which is supported by Napster.
Yeah.
The lead singer of Limp Bizkit said, "We could care less about the older generation's need to do business as usual. We care more about what our fans want. Uh-huh. Our fans want music on the internet."
Okay.
So, good news.
Yeah.
And bad news.
Yeah, it's always interesting news.
Uh-huh. Oh, and Gnutella is like Napster, but it doesn't require a centralized server.
Okay, so that's what it's a Napster-like service that has the same name as the thing in Europe.
The chocolate spread.
Right.
It's similar to the Freenet proposal. But this one actually works. People are actually trading music right now on it.
Uh huh.
And what? I recommend you go to gnutella.wego.com. That's the official site.
Okay, we'll go right after the show.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
It's a distributed network where you basically kind of hop on and manage to advertise with a bunch of individuals. So there isn't one Gnutella network.
Mm-hmm.
You can actually have like three of your friends make your own little isolated cell.
It's IRC?
Yeah. Hmm. It's an interesting protocol. It has its shortcomings, but it's certainly better than Freenet. And I'm not going to go on my Freenet tirade. Right,
yeah, please don't do that. Let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hey, Emmanuel. This is Fear Free.
How you doing?
Let me turn on my radio first so you don't hear my massive echo in the background.
Yeah, there's a lot of echo tonight.
So all I can say is Bell Atlantic sucks, or, I'm sorry, Verizon sucks.
Verizon really sucks.
Verizon needs poop.
Yeah, that too.
I live here in Northwest Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And tried AT&T. No signal anywhere. Tried Sprint. No signal anywhere. And Sprint, I think I've called up, if you remember me, with my Sprint tirades of how much they suck with local telephone service. And they're not any better for cellular out here. So I get Bell Atlantic. They suck, but not near as much. And they don't just suck it signal-wise. The bill is always wrong. They screw me over on my minutes. And Verizon, when I got my first Verizon bill, because I actually got a Verizon bill. Have you gotten a Verizon bill yet?
Well, I don't use Bell Atlantic Wireless, so no. But I imagine, you know, when they change the name, I'm not sure when this is going to happen, when they change Bell Atlantic's official name to Verizon.
I've actually seen a Verizon Wireless banner over a Bell Atlantic.
Yeah, you've seen Verizon Wireless, but you haven't seen
Verizon.
Yeah, because
I got my first Verizon bill. Because I got my first Verizon bill.
Uh-huh.
And it was completely wrong. They even had my plan wrong. Like, my cellular plan, it wasn't even the plan that I had originally signed up for. And instead of saying I had 200 minutes on my plan, that said I had like 50 or something.
Okay.
50 minutes.
They completely screwed it up. And I called them up, and they're like, "Oh, I'm sorry, sir. We completely messed up."
Uh-huh.
Like, thanks for letting me know.
Yeah.
You know, before you messed up.
Uh-huh.
Right, you know? So these guys are completely, you know.
Well, you know,
they have no idea what they're doing.
They're the same people. That's what I can't figure out. They're the same people that were running things before. They just changed their name. So I don't really see the excuse for messing things up.
Honestly.
And I'm trying to figure out how it's going to benefit the consumer. I mean, they are merging with other very large companies.
AirTouch, GTE. Yep.
And, maybe it'll help us with our area, you know. I mean, just, you know, what's included in your local area, goodness only knows, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, if they're going to mess it up this bad, it's not even worth it anymore, you know?
That's true.
I mean, they should start paying us.
I've really heard very few comments against Bell Atlantic Mobile. In fact, the person who just called before was like maybe the third complaint anyone's had against BAM that I've heard.
BAM.
And I mean,
Verizon, a lot of these people are starting to like wake up and say,
just to give you a quick idea, I mean, out here, I live in Morris County, New Jersey, which is basically smack dab right in the middle of the northern part of the state.
Right.
And I'm towards the western side of it. And if you go into Warren County, that's not in my service area. It's five miles from my house. It's not in my local calling area. Now, how stupid is that?
Pretty stupid, but pretty typical, too.
And if I can't call southern New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
Anything in the 8609 and 856 area code, that's not on my plan.
Yeah.
In my own state.
Yeah, boundaries are always drawn rather weirdly, and they never benefit people near them.
Well, AT&T didn't do that, but they didn't give me any good... They I had no signal anywhere, so it didn't even matter. But they gave me all those areas. It was insane. So that's my gripes with Bell Atlantic / Verizon.
Well, we're always glad to hear them. Thanks for sharing them with us.
Thanks, Manuel.
All right, take care. We have another stop to make. Let's get our dial tone. Okay. Yeah, we called 1-800-VERIZON, but we didn't call 1-888-VERIZON.
Oh.
Yeah, so let's see who has that one.
Hmm.
If anybody. And if nobody has it, maybe we can get it.
Now that's the Z with a 9.
Z with a 9, yes.
If it's IBM again.
That would be something.
I got $5 on a pager.
Hello. Thank you very much for calling. You've reached Jeffrey Reese. I'm in and out of the office on a regular basis, or could even be on another call.
Yeah, it could be.
You would kind of leave your name and number, and I will give you a call back as soon as possible. Thank you.
Hi, Jeffrey. It's Emmanuel from Off the Hook in New York. I was just calling to warn you that you may be getting a call from Verizon, the new phone company, because you have 1-888-VERIZON. And we're just calling you live on the radio to advise you, please, don't give them the phone number, no matter what they say, no matter what they threaten, no matter how much money they offer to you. Keep the phone number. I think you deserve it a lot more than they do, all right? And I'm going to keep checking to make sure that you don't give in to pressure. Thanks. Take care. And good luck, whatever it is you do. Okay, so...
You could have given a callback number or something.
What? Do you think I want people, you know, involving me in this?
Okay.
I'm already up to my neck in it. So I need to be implicated with an 800, what's this, $5?
That's $5 from, he just lost the bet. He thought it was a pager.
Yeah, I said $5, it was a pager. It rang too many times, but anyway.
Good evening, you're on the air. Speak up.
Yes, hi, Emmanuel, it's Deeply, how are you?
How are you?
Yeah, listen, three quick things. Did you know that this past May 8th was the 10th anniversary of Operation Sun Devil?
Was it May? I thought it was March. I know Steve Jackson got raided in early March, and I'm pretty sure Operation Sun Devil was going on around that time, wasn't it?
Yeah, sure thing. Another quick
but it's 10 years. It's 10 years.
Well, there goes that.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever heard of a Hewlett-Packard Key Wand HBCK 1210? It's a keyboard wedge barcode reader. I haven't been able to find any info on the net, so I figured I'd ask people that might know.
Hmm. Well, how about you give us an email so if somebody listening knows, they can send you information.
Yeah, deeplyshrouded@yahoo.com.
There you go. All right, good hearing from you.
How's things in New York?
New York is happening. It's the happening place. We hope to see you at H2K.
Well, I don't know. It rains a lot here in Washington. I don't think I'll make it to H2K.
Oh, that would be a bad mistake not to make it to H2K. We expect it to be historical.
Well, I guess I'll have to just try to be there.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Thanks for calling.
Take care of yourself, old boy.
All right. And please make sure that you don't miss H2K because we're planning so many amazing things, including the premiere of the film, which we've been working on diligently for the last, it seems like forever.
Years. Last 3 years or so.
It feels that way, doesn't it? But it's going to be good. It's really going to be good.
We haven't actually mentioned this website for the...
No, well, if you go to the main website, if you go to 2600.com, you'll see a little mysterious thing saying Freedom Downtime. If you click on that, you'll see pictures from the upcoming film, which will be debuted at H2K July 14th. That's Friday. So, check it out. That's as much as you're going to see now, and we'll release more as the date becomes closer. All right, let's take another phone call. Let's go over here. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. You were talking earlier about Napster and Metallica.
Uh-huh.
I was listening to an interview recently with Lars Ulrich of Metallica, and he was mentioning how the band owns the masters to all their records, which, of course, is the exception, not the rule, if anybody knows anything about the record business. But I just thought that might shed a little light as to why they're so upset about Napster.
That is interesting. I do know, though, that there's new legislation going through Congress that would make it so that people who record music, it will be treated as, I think it's a, basically the music will be owned by the corporation that puts out their music, and they'll be paid once for it. They won't get royalties in the future. Have you heard anything about this?
That's pretty much the case now. Like, that's more the rule than the exception. I mean, Yeah. It's only a band that has good management or a band that really knows their business that can negotiate something like that.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's what it boils down to.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for the information.
All right.
Yeah, those are the things we really have to look out for, and I think they should be focusing their attention more on that because, you know, that really is not good for people when the music becomes owned by somebody else. I mean, I don't know who it is that makes decisions as to what music makes it into commercials, but I can't imagine many artists really like their songs being used as, you know, Chevrolet commercials, especially if they claim to be, you know, alternative musicians. But somehow their music winds up selling mainstream things. I mean, yeah, okay, maybe they're just phonies from the start, and maybe that's just the way the industry works. But, you know, I know like Jello Biafra, what was it, Holiday in Cambodia was supposed to be used for a Gap ad.
Oh, yeah, that's horrible.
And he wound up being sued by his other band members. In fact, he just lost lawsuit last week. It's horrible. And when you think about it, why wouldn't an artist have the right to say, hey, you know,
don't use this
for anything other than the song it was meant? I mean, not who listens to it, not who is able to hear it, but what it's used for. And I think that's a real subversion of the music. Not so much listening to something without paying exactly what you're supposed to pay like everybody else does, you know, overhearing it on the radio or downloading it on Napster or something like that, but changing the meaning, I think that's a lot worse.
So wait a second. You are endorsing a policy that says you can control an item after you've sold it?
Well, what do you mean by sold
or after
it?
After there's been a transfer of ownership?
Well, you're saying the music was transferred?
The music, where someone is stipulating that you can't use it in this specific way, even though it's already
I'm opposed to selling your music to a company that then controls it in different ways than you intended. Yes, I am opposed to that. And yeah, I do blame the artist for selling it to them in the first place, and I think that might be something that should be changed, where artists continue to control how their music is shown. Because, I mean, you know, you write, like, you know, Beethoven's 10th Symphony or whatever, and it's used, you know, to sell, you know, Levi's. That's kind of wrong, and you shouldn't have to
I had a funny,
put up with that kind of thing.
Remembrance about one of those things. Lexus, remember a couple of years ago, was using Vivaldi's. They were using his Four Seasons, and you see the car driving down the road, and the leaves are falling down, and you can tell it's autumn, and Spring by Vivaldi is playing. I mean, they just got it wrong.
I mean, Spring instead of
if
autumn.
You're going to cater to that type of crowd that actually is sophisticated enough to understand Vivaldi and wealthy enough to afford a Lexus, at least get the music right.
Well, I could see the corporate roundtable meeting saying, no, that music just doesn't work what we're trying
to
say here.
But
never mind Vivaldi. He doesn't know what he's talking about. You know,
forget Antonio.
We know how to sell a car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Horrible.
All right. Let's take another phone call. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Emmanuel. It's Monarch. I just had a comment about something that I heard on one of the tracks that you played off of the Jealousy.
Uh-huh. Oh, that was last week during our special.
Yeah, during Pledge Drive.
Yes.
Yeah. You know how he mentioned about how parents shouldn't block their kids from seeing certain things on TV or whatnot, like war or whatnot?
Yeah, they should talk to their kids about it instead.
Well, I think it's kind of funny because from some of the people I've met in this area where I live, there's even some parents who are just so preoccupied with the stupidest little things, like... They themselves don't even know what's going on. They don't take the time to, you know, read the news or find out what's really going on other than what they see on the 10 o'clock news, you know?
Right, and by having all these blocks in place, they can shirk that responsibility and not ever have to deal with it and just say, yeah, you know, you can't look at this. I don't know what it is you can't look at, but you can't look at it, so you're safe, so we don't even have to talk about it, and I don't even have to know what's going on.
Exactly. Like, I've seen some parents, if they see their kid reading about something or... interesting that their kid is interested in, and they don't know what it is, and it seems like it could be, ooh, wait, what's this about? You know, I don't really know what this is. Mm-hmm. I better take it away from him just in case it might, you know, poison him or something.
Uh-huh.
As if it's dangerous, you know. He's trying to enlighten himself, but no, you can't let him do that.
Right, right. No, it's a bad thing, and I think he really got it on the money there, that you have to confront these issues, you have to address them, and that's how people get educated.
Right.
All right, hey, thanks for the call.
Sure.
All right. See if we can squeeze in, I guess we can squeeze in one or two more. That line's never been lit before. Should we take that one? This one? All right. You sure? I think that might be Rebel. Are you sure? Okay. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up.
Well, it's certainly not Rebel.
All right. That one? You sure? All right. Good evening. You're on the air. Speak up, please.
You have a message from...
What?
Emmanuel Goldstein.
Ooh. Courtesy of IamBot.com.
Okay.
Make your selection anytime during this message. Please press 1 to hear the message. Press 2 to hold or transfer to an extension. Press 9 to repeat the menu or simply hang up.
All right, let's hear this.
The telephone was ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving. Now I can't make a call. The 631 area code is not all bad. The 2600 fax number now spells anyone HB4COPS.
Press 1 to replay. Message delivered by IamBot.com.
Well, let's reply.
You have a message from...
Emmanuel Goldstein.
Wait.
Courtesy of
IamBot.com. Didn't it say press 1 to reply?
No,
make your selection anytime during this message. Please press 1 to hear the message. Press 2 to hold or transfer to an extension. Press 9 to repeat the menu or simply hang up.
Let's transfer to an extension. That's pretty cool.
Please press 1 to hear the message. Right. Press 9 to repeat the menu or simply hang up.
I'm going to press 0, see what happens. Oops, it didn't like that. I think it hung up on me. There we go.
That was the end of
that. That was cool. That was pretty nice.
Nifty.
I like little messages like that. Okay, we have time for... we got to make another phone call. You know what we have to call now. That's right. It's 1-877-VERIZON. Let's see if they manage to get that one. That's the last of the toll-free numbers, I think. 866 is going to be the
AT&T.
New one.
AT&T. Personal advantage. PIN, please.
Oh, this is one of these.
Please enter your PIN.
I don't have a
PIN. Please enter your PIN.
It knows my voice.
Sorry, you haven't entered your PIN.
This is...
Just a moment.
That's the craziest thing I've ever
heard.
You
have misdialed a number at 295 North Maple Avenue. If you need assistance, please call 1-2000.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, that's great. It gives out the address of the number you misdialed.
That's interesting.
It knew my voice. Either that or it was an extremely fast recording there. It kept interrupting me. All right, let's squeeze in, pick one. That's definitely him. That's definitely him. You want him. Okay. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello.
Oh, it's not him. Good evening.
Hi.
What's up?
Wonderful show.
Why, thank you.
Great. First time caller. I was driving down 3rd Avenue today, talking on my cell phone. I had just made a call through a calling card,
uh-huh.
Which, by the way, you might want to do a show on calling cards one of these days.
Well, thank you about it.
And guess what? I'm a Mobile One customer, and I was cut off by Verizon's recording telling me that I should hang on and a customer service assistant will be with me in a moment.
Well, now, I haven't kept up with the companies. Now, Mobile One isn't owned by Verizon?
I don't know who owns Mobile One. I'm getting rid of them as soon as my contract is up.
That would be funny, though, if Verizon is cutting into other competitors.
It was in the middle of a call to France. I mean, it was ridiculous.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing about, I don't know if you know anything about the Board of Ed, New York City Board of Ed's website, but they have it blocked by this thing called Gear, G-E-A-R. You heard of this thing?
I've heard of things like it.
Yeah, and what it does is it if you type in a word like condom.com, it'll tell you you can't, it'll reject the, you can't get through. It'll just read the condom and come back.
Yeah, why would people in the Board of Ed want to,
forbidden.
Talk about that?
But then you can go down to the nurse's office and get your condoms. I mean, this
right.
is... Yeah, so.
Maybe you can get a list of all the words that you can't say on the website.
Well, I the kids are coming to me with this stuff. I mean, and then you walk around the room sometime and you look at the stuff they actually can get into, and it's appalling.
Yeah, well, it's anytime you try and control what people can look at, it backfires somehow.
Yeah.
The best thing, as Jello said, is to confront it and be educated about it. Then you won't have people trying to sneak around and doing these things. They'll either want to go there or they won't want to go there, and at least they'll know why.
And the irony of it all is I'm teaching special ed, and these are special ed kids, and they're coming up with all this stuff. So if they can get through, anybody can get through. So.
All right. Anyway, hey, thanks
great
for the call.
Great show, and you guys are my heroes. Take care. Have a good night.
Thanks. That's a burden of responsibility.
You remember what happened to the last time someone actually came up with a list of sites that were blocked when someone cracked open Cyber Patrol, Symantec's product?
Yeah, and they actually tried to sue them? Yeah. I mean, that's unbelievable. You gotta fight these things at every level. Well, we're out of time. Fun show, though. Take more calls next week and have some more updates. Isaac, you'll bring in that that little assignment that we gave to you. Stay tuned for Talk Rear. We'll be back next week at 8 o'clock. It's Emmanuel Goldstein. Have a good night.
We couldn't get much worse, but if they could
like to give a shout out to all the prisoners throughout the world.
The prison system is out of control, and people you love are living under conditions that no one deserves. Why not let them know you care by sending them a message over the airwaves with WBAI's Prisoner Shoutout Line, broadcasting your voice every Thursday morning at 6:45. Do you have a loved one behind bars and you haven't called? Pick up the phone and dial 212-209-2958. That's the Prisoner Shoutout Line, 212-209-2958.
I miss you so much at home, man. I really do, man. Stay strong, brother, man. Daddy loves you. Stay strong, and we're going to be all right.
The best thing that ever happened to me. I love you today, tomorrow, and always. Hugs and kisses. Bye.
And you are tuned to WBAI 99.5 FM, your commercial-free community-sponsored radio. Coming up next, Tahrir, with your host, your weekly host, Barbara Nimri Aziz.